Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Ship the Shore Radio. Radio.
From Jersey. On Ship to Shore Radio with our special guest tonight, Danny Hoy, the Tropigal herself. Captain Frankendred is here somewhere. I'm not quite sure where he is. So we're going to bring on Danny Hoy. Danny, how are you doing tonight? Hello? Hello? Alan? Alan?
Ken.
Hey, is he there?
Ken?
Yeah.
It's Danny.
Okay, we just lost Alan. Okay, this is Ship to Shore Radio with our special guest tonight is Danny Hoy, the Tropigal herself. This is her second appearance on the show. And Danny, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. And can't say the same for Captain Frankendred because I don't know what happened to him. Last time we had you on, you were just in the process of putting out your first CD, your solo project, Tropigal.
Right.
It's out now. I've had my copy, and I'm pretty much wearing it out, and I've heard nothing but good things about it. What's the feedback you've been getting on it?
Oh, I've been getting really great feedback. It's definitely something to be very excited about. I've heard a lot of great responses. A lot of people seem to really like what they hear. My grandmother's been listening to it 3 and 4 times a day, so that's a good thing. I've got my grandma happy.
It's always good when the family likes it.
That's for sure. Yeah, my dad's like selling them out of his car. I'm selling them out of my pocketbook. But I've been getting a lot of great responses, and I'm trying to work on getting some reviews and stuff, like some professional reviews to have those handy. But so far, anybody who's bought it has told me that they either really like it or they love it, so that's good. I haven't had any like real negative feedback or anything, so I'm taking that as a good thing.
When I was down at Spring Fling, I heard a lot of positive feedback from it. A lot of people were talking about it. I've been hearing it on Beachfront. I've been hearing it around,
mm-hmm.
a lot of cuts from the CD, and I enjoy it. My wife enjoys it. We all, everybody I've spoke to enjoys it. Now the title cut, Tropigal.
Mm-hmm.
What's give us a little background on how you came up with the idea for the song, the lyrics, and so on.
Oh well, Tropigal. I mean, I kind of put the name together. This is funny. But I had an email address that was Tropigal or something, and I was looking for song ideas one day, and I was just thinking about why I used that name as part of my email address, and then I started thinking about who Tropigal would be, and what kind of life she might live, and it's a woman song about escaping. It's like a siren song to let out your inner Tropigal, I guess you could say, to let your island girl out and find those moments when you can escape, when you can get out to the, get to your favorite island, paradise escape, or, out on a ship or something, or on a boat, or down to the shore, wherever you're called to be, and, feel free and feel like you're yourself and you can relax and celebrate. So that's kind of how that started out, and I don't know, it came very naturally to the chorus. Her heart belongs to the open sea. She's going to soar on the open breeze. So it's just all those things that make her feel comfortable and happy about being at the beach. Yeah.
Those are things that make
sense.
Me happy.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah,
I was just
definitely.
She went, so I can't complain.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw your pictures on Facebook. It looked like a real good time.
Yeah, it was incredible. It was a blast. It was my first Meet Me in the Keys, and I'm so happy I went. I have to tell you, I had such a great time with the folks, the Southernmost Coconut Castaways, who put that together, and just did a phenomenal job. I mean, it was, you know, I don't know how they made it run so smoothly. At least from my point of view, I mean, it all went so well, and it was just such a great time. So. Very happy about my experience there. Very happy. Not happy to be cold again, but yeah. I came home and it was 70 degrees and rainy.
Really, it's not too bad here. That's why I decided to. This is really live outdoor music. I'm in a table outside, in the dark, running the switchboard, and that's how we're conducting the interview.
Waiting for the wildlife to show.
Well, yeah. If anybody out there hears. Chair scramble and things fall, that means the raccoon came back.
Oh, okay. The dog barked.
Yeah. I did the Dreaded Sports show last summer when I was down at our place in Florida, and I said, I'm going to do it outside too. I was sitting down with the phone on the boat dock, and then all of a sudden two boats started chugging up the canal, and I'm like, this isn't good. All you heard was boat engines in the background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably not the best thing, but, you know.
No, live radio is always, have had to, done it from my basement, like, during the winter, and the dryer went off in the middle of the show.
Oh, no. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. That's a great sound. Then everyone knows what you're doing.
So what events do you have coming up, you know, over the summer? We know about Meeting of the Minds. What's coming up fairly recently that anybody from the Northeast, the Pennsylvania, New Jersey, you know, Maryland area might be able to go check out and catch you live?
Well, if you feel like traveling a little bit and you want to come to Marietta, Pennsylvania, a little place called Shank's Tavern, I'm having my CD release party there. It's it's kind of like a little home away from home. I've done a lot of open mic nights there, and I have a lot of great friends there, and Bob Shank is a great is the owner of the bar and is a great friend. So it just seemed like a really good place to have that. And we're going to have giveaways. I'm going to give away a whole bunch of CDs. I'm going to give away some T-shirts. And anybody who comes in gets a free beer koozie. And I'm trying to throw together a big door prize. So, I'm going to play music from the CD. I'm going to play some other music. We'll have giveaways and free food and stuff, cash bar. And the other thing, I'm going to have some friends come and hopefully join me, some of my Drunk Valley Jammers friends. I don't know if they're going to call in tonight. I'm not sure. I haven't heard back from them. So I think they're all in recovery from the weekend.
I sent them messages on Facebook, but I didn't hear back. I was hoping somebody would see it. I know they don't go on a whole lot, but they may see it like next week.
Yeah, probably, and then they'll be like, oh, well, we'll see. You know, maybe some other things can work out, but they're good friends. I really enjoyed having them with me in Wildwood, and a couple of them are going to be also at the, in fact, well, I think Cheryl and Steve are going to be at Shank's with me, so, and my husband will be there playing a little bit, too, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, they
he
were,
kind of backs me up when I'm not on some of my songs to kind of fill out the sound.
I mean, when I've seen you, you've just, you know, been solo. You know, or John Friday will jump up on stage. You guys will play together.
That's great.
I didn't know you had a band. Yeah, you guys were really really good. That was enjoyable. For somebody, I mean,
yeah.
The way you explained it was like you're a bunch of friends that just get together and jam. But you did a real good job. It was really, you know, good sound.
That's how a band starts. You know, you just kind of, well, that's how some bands start anyway.
But it was enjoyable. It was a good sound, you know.
Yeah,
that was a good
really
good weekend altogether. You got to play indoors and outdoors.
Yeah, we were out locked out on the street. That was kind of fun. Oh my!
Yeah, that was
such memories. Really good memories about performing here and there. It's not the first time that's happened. At least he did let us in after a while.
Yeah, it was. I thought maybe after the bar episode the night before, the day before, they would keep us out for a while.
Oh, really?
free drinks, remember? So what else do you have lined up for the summer? I know you're going to be down at an event down in, I think it's Glen Gardner, New Jersey, for Mark DeVoe's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's something before that, but we could talk about that. That's
What do you have before that? We'll go in order.
Oh, yeah. Sixth Street Music is coming up the beginning of August. It's August 9th through the 12th, and it's in New Orleans. I'm really excited about finally getting back to New Orleans. I haven't been there in years, so it's great. It's gonna be such a fun time. It's an invitational, which really excites me. Actually, I've been invited to perform there, and I mean, I'm really hanging with the big guys here, and I'm kind of excited. Well, John Friday will be there. Tom Shepard with Coley McCabe. I assume he's bringing Coley with him. John Frenzy, Jim Morris is going to be there. Captain Josh, Matt Hoggett. I know I'm saying that wrong.
Mm-hmm.
John Reno, Sonny Jim, Joe Bennett, Brent Burns, and Captain Leo. We're all going to be performing like at the Tropical Isle in Margaritaville, and there's going to be some really interesting, I think it's going to be cool. There's going to be like a songwriter circles where we'll be sitting in a group, and we'll be kind of playing and listening to each other's music. So that's going to be cool. It's a little different from a party, you know?
Yeah, those are big themes in Trop Rock, so it'll be good exposure for you, good experience, you know?
Oh, it'll be a great experience. I'm so looking forward to it. It's more of a songwriter event. It's more, it's less of the party. I mean, it's still a fundraising event because we're raising money for the New Orleans Musicians Clinic. I have to get the exact name of it. But it's a good, it's an excellent cause that provides health care to Sixth Stream. I should look on it on Facebook for it. There it is. Here's kind of slow all of a sudden. I have really inadequate internet going on here. Yeah. Here it is. Not that far away. And I'll be flying down and staying for the whole weekend. It benefits the New Orleans Musicians Clinic. I got it right. What a memory. And so that's going to be a really cool event, and I'm really looking forward to meeting some of these songwriters that I haven't met before, actually met. And I have to write I'm working on a few more songs to have ready for that. Because I have all my songs from the CD, but I have some new songs I'm working on because I want to debut those and have those to I'm playing for an hour and a half at, I think it's Tropical Isle. I got the schedule the other day. It's a tentative schedule, but I think it's going to go through.
I know the next time I'll see it'll be the Glen Gardner show with the fundraiser for Mark DeVoe and his son. Do you have any information on that? Did you look? I know. I can't even say the name of the disease. I know it's
Choroideremia. I practiced in the mirror. I practiced in the mirror until I said it right. Choroideremia, and it is a rare genetic eye disorder, and it causes eventual blindness. It could take years, but it can start showing up in a young age, and it's a gradual, I think it seems to be a gradual thing, but it's, it causes quite a lot of problems, obviously. and Mark's son has it, but this fundraiser is for the Vision Walk in Philadelphia the proceeds will go to the Vision Walk in Philadelphia. It's the major fundraising arm for the Foundation Fighting Blindness, which has raised $22 million in the past 6 years. But there's a whole bunch of bands that are going to be playing. It's not actually at the Trop Rock event. It's called Vision Rock Fest. I will be playing there as one of the groups. there's a group, Mr. Music, Southbound, Too Stupid to Quit, Rock Candy, which is an 80s tribute band. It's actually the Eastern New Jersey premier 80s tribute band. The Wizards of Winter, which I heard last year, and they're really phenomenal. They did an Ozzy song that just kicked it. That was great. But it's an outdoor show, unless it rains, of course, and it's $12.50 at the door. He's going to have the pre-sale orders up soon. It's endorsed by the Red Knights Motorcycle Club, and you can contact Mark at 908-619-8260 for more details.
You know what we can do? We can post some information, too, on the Ship to Shore Facebook page, how to get in touch
right.
with him.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'll do that as soon as we're done tonight. This way you can, for people who aren't on his friends group, you can come to Ship to Shore and get the information.
It's August 26th from 12 to 7:30. I forgot that part.
I'll be there.
That's a really long note.
are you bringing any of your Drunk Valley Jammers with you, or is this a...
I'm going to ask them. I'm going to try. It all depends. You know, they have families and whatever. You know, they have different things going on. So as long as I can get them organized and get them to come with me, they'll come. I'd like to have them come along. That would be cool.
Well, tell Cheryl that if she comes, I'll bring the coffee.
Oh, the coffee. Okay.
The coffee.
Yeah. She likes that. She likes coffee.
Why don't we take a break? We'll play a song here, and
okay.
Hopefully Captain Frank Andretti will be here soon. He's been texting me. He's having some problems. So we're gonna play Meet Me on the Boardwalk.
Yeah.
This is Ship to Shore Radio with our special guest Danny Hoy. And this is Meet Me on the Boardwalk off her initial solo CD, Tropigal.
Life's kept us busy with jobs and homes and kids in school. Why don't we cut loose, get out and act like crazy fools? Meet me on the boardwalk. We'll be kids again, only for a little while. We'll be right back.
on. Hit me this time. This is Kathy.
I'm here. I think we're finally all here. The technical problems are over.
Absolutely. Yeah, man. You know, it's kind of just like that. This is Captain Frank Andrade, and that's what happens when you go in retirement and you decide that you're going to come back. And everything's been in very good hands, though, with Trustee First May Ken. And, you know, Danny, I bet you thought I wasn't going to be here this time.
Oh, my.
Yes. And I tell you what, though, I had a friend of mine from Key West to text me on last Friday. I believe you were at Smoking Tuna in a performance.
I was. Yeah.
Yes, performing with John Friday.
Uh-huh.
I have the spies everywhere.
You do.
Uh-oh. Absolutely. Totally.
I hope you're not using one of my cats against me.
No. I'll tell you this much, though. I've heard really good things about you, and I'm really enjoying what I'm hearing out of your CD, and it's welcome aboard to Ship to Shore, as Ken has said, and I'll tell you, the most important thing is, I also wanted to thank you also for, as a lot of people have an opportunity to do, taking care of a very important cause. I see that you're lending a hand to the Chop Rock event on August 26th as well, and a benefit for Angels for Mark, which you mentioned it wasn't a direct event, but the bands and things there was, you mentioned it was 12:50 at the door on that day?
Well, 12:50 at the door.
Okay.
12:50, yeah.
So it was Tropical, person from Baltimore.
Originally, yeah. Born in Baltimore.
All right. So tell me a little bit about what got you into music in the first place.
I've loved music my whole life. I mean, I always sang in the car, sang with the radio everywhere I went. There seemed to be music going on. My dad and his two brothers had a band, so they would practice in my grandparents' club basement. So it'd always be, you know, there was always somebody playing music or some kind of music going on somewhere. So I've always had an attraction for it. I would sing songs till I knew them to death, you know, like a lot of kids, I guess. But, you know, I grew up in with singer-songwriters of the 70s and disco and all kinds of different great music. And I also enjoyed American standards like Sinatra and Nat King Cole and all that. That's another thing that my parents seemed to really enjoy, plus some classical music. I mean, there was always some kind of music. I think that's why I have eclectic taste in music that I have today, because I was exposed to a variety of different things. My mother believed in education and exposing us to culture. So we were exposed to a lot of different cultural things, and music was a huge part of that. So I've always loved it, and I learned how to play guitar when I was 12.
Wow, you must be in my mind. I was about to ask you what made guitar your instrument of choice to accentuate your voice.
Well, my dad was a guitar player. I guess he could still play a little bit, but he doesn't play like he used to. I mean, he was pretty good rhythm guitar player. I still have his guitar from when he was playing it in a band, and it's a year older than I am. It's a 67 Chet Atkins Gretsch, and it's a beautiful guitar. I pull it out once in a while, but I don't usually take it on gigs with me because it's kind of precious.
Yes.
And I'm not a huge, like an electric guitar player, though I am taking lessons, and learning a lot more chords, and it's improving my skills with the acoustic guitar as well. But I guess because I'm daddy's girl, I always liked the guitar and always found it to be something I felt was cool and challenging, and though I'd like to learn some other instruments, I'd like to learn some keyboard and stuff.
Yeah, so here's the thing. Your acoustic guitar, what type of acoustic guitar do you play now, usually out in live performances?
Oh, I have a Martin DC1XE, which is not a high-end, it's my first Martin, so I know that there's probably, well, there are obviously more expensive, better, bigger Martins, you know, more professional Martins. But I think it has a great sound. I'm very happy with it. The one in the pictures on the Facebook is my travel Martin. That's the LXME. So I wanted to get two guitars that were Martins that I could. They're acoustic, but they're electric as well. Yeah. And I had a Fender before, which was fine, but I just love the rich tone that these guitars have. And it's surprising what that tiny guitar can do. It sounds amazing when you plug it in. It just sounds so big. So I'm happy with it. It's a good thing, good sound.
Well, here's one for you. What type of venues do you like to play the most? You like? Have you played any house shows yet?
I would like to do some house concerts. I haven't gotten to do house concerts yet. I like that intimate atmosphere. I think that would be really cool. I mean, there's a local music store that I played not too long ago. I joined with a couple other women songwriters from the area, and we did a little showcase. And I just love that tiny stage and just having the intimate crowd that you could talk to and feel comfortable with and share stories with. And I think that's the thing about being a singer-songwriter that you like is you want to talk about where your songs came from and what your inspiration was, and you want to share stories. I think that's what singer-songwriters are about, is they're sharing stories about their lives or about their inspiration or some story that they think is fun or cool.
Yeah, so your approach to songwriting, do you normally write lyrics first, or do you pick up a guitar, or just all kind of like comes together
it's more like poetry writing, because I get kind of a rhyme, usually trying to think of the chorus first, trying to come up with something catchy. And I usually have some kind of idea about the story or the central theme, and then it's just trying to prove that central theme with the verses and the chorus, and possibly bridge. And I'll have Meet Me on the Boardwalk, for instance. I was thinking about my experience growing up as a child going to Wildwood, New Jersey, because we used to spend a couple weeks in Wildwood during the summer and, hang out on the beach, and we'd stay in North Wildwood, which was very family-friendly. And I just always loved the boardwalk. I had a soft spot in my heart for the boardwalk. So I was trying to think of a song that would kind of exemplify that feeling. And, you know, it's like, well, somehow Meet Me on the Boardwalk just popped into my head. I'm like, oh, Meet Me on the Boardwalk. And then what happens when you meet someone on the boardwalk? It's like you get to be like a kid again. You get to run around and, you know, eat popcorn and pizza, whatever. You get on roller coasters. You have a good time because you're on the boardwalk. It's what the boardwalk's about. So that's how that song kind of developed, was just this nostalgia I was feeling for my childhood and the time I spent in Wildwood.
Well,
but it all started there as a poem, but then it's like the melody suggests itself by the rhyme and the words.
Well, it's all coming together really nicely. And if I were to use a cooking term, I see you've put all the ingredients in, and you're definitely giving people food to enjoy. It's a nice meal all the way around.
nice little meal.
I'm going to tell you how
Hopefully
I found out about you.
Carbs. I'm not giving them too many carbs.
Well, for some period of time, I've seen your name around and have not had an opportunity to, because you know how it is. Everyone has, seems like, a million Facebook friends. And over a span of years that you flip a coin and say, okay, today is everyone under H or whatever. I'm going to try to connect with everybody. But I've been trying so hard to, because I realized you were performing. I noticed that you were, the graphic arts. And then out of nowhere, Ken, he mentioned you to me, and a few other people mentioned them. And Chris Ream, he says, hey, you've got to get Danny Hoy on the show. So I said, okay, that's good enough. Those two first
is awesome.
Good enough for me. And the first time that you were on Ship to Shore, unfortunately, I was caught inside of the kitchen, and I could not get there, but here I am. And since Ken is primarily responsible for getting you here,
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's some things that he may have to share or to ask to share if I listen this evening. So I'm, the captain's going to go get a spot of rum while Ken runs the ship for a moment.
Second mate. First mate. He's got to get a spot of rum.
So
what kind of rum is he getting?
Appleton's the only way for this evening. I prefer Ron Zacapa from Guatemala, but that's at this exact moment. That's a bit rich and both taste and also price, so we're not going that route. That's weekend rum.
We didn't get a chance to mention your website. You want to give that out? People want to look up your schedule, maybe check out the CD, other places that they may be able to pick up the CD.
Yeah, because you can find find everything you need to know on my website about where I'm going to be and how to get the different merchandise. And I've updated some pictures. I have more to put on it, but it's www.dannyhoymusic.com, and that's dannyhoymusic.com. And in case you're wondering, Danny is short for Danielle.
I was wondering, actually. I really, out of nowhere, it's as if you're inside of my mind this evening, because that was something I wanted to ask before on the show, and I didn't quite make it, but here I am. But Danielle, all right. And I noticed you're performing a lot more live shows and things, and I think we had communicated one time, you had mentioned that you were really trying to get the CD finished and getting studio time to work it into your schedule, but I've noticed mm-hmm. that you're playing more live. Are there a lot of plans to play live? And part B to that question, are you going to be at Meeting of the Minds this year?
Absolutely. I will be there. I don't have anything yet on the books, but I'm working on those details. So I will get something together.
Well, look for the Living Like a Pirate tent, and that's one definite place you'll be able to find me. But I think that's the time where we can...
Yes, I will.
Just listen for a steel pan and some reggae music, and then we can finally meet. I'm really enjoying your songwriting and your CD, and I'll definitely be the pleasure of the captain to see you live. We'll take some pictures, and too bad we can't get Ken to sneak down the Meeting of the Minds, but someone's got to run the ship, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Poor Ken.
And let's say I win the lottery between now and then, and I don't have to go to work, then I'll be there.
Yes.
Damn job always gets in the way. I don't understand it. Why couldn't I have been born rich instead of handsome?
No, that's true. No, I had a real blast. I really had a blast at Meet Me in the Keys. That was just an amazing event. That was my first time there, and I loved it. I don't know if I said that earlier, but I think I did. But Mark and Tammy Hollander really did an amazing job, and everyone else that organized. There are so many people, so many names of all these people in the Southernmost Coconut Castaways that just did such a beautiful job, and I'm hoping to head back down there again, obviously.
Yeah, I saw your
the
pictures
more the
on mirror, Facebook.
The more time I can do it, this will be two times in Key West in a year, and I'm pretty excited about that. Very excited.
So you're getting more exposure. People the name is getting out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to snowball from there. Whenever I get the opportunity, like if I'm home in the afternoon, I even try to request your music on Beachfront, like I did today, and I had it right out, and I missed the damn song.
That stinks, doesn't it? You step out of the room for a second, then your song plays.
Yeah.
Sounds like Murphy's Law.
I knew that was going to happen, though. So I said I probably should wait, but then you can kind of tell on the Facebook page how many people requested ahead of you. I said, I'm probably going to be a little bit, so I ran out real quick, got back, and
mm-hmm.
I missed it by about two songs, I think you said.
Yeah, you did. That was funny. Well, funny for me.
Well, here's the thing about tropical music. I want to ask you this. Do you like boating? Do you ski? Do you like the? I know you love the sand and the palm trees and surf and all of those things, but tell me, how did you find yourself in tropical music or in this genre?
Well, I don't actually do a sport. I love being on. I don't do a water sport. I do love being on a boat. I do love being in water. Like I said, I've always enjoyed the shore, and I've always felt very comfortable around the ocean. I love the smells of the ocean. I love the sounds that you hear down at the shore. It's a funny thing. I became a parrothead probably 10 years ago, something. I actually joined a parrothead club, the Parrotheads in Amish Paradise, a few years ago. And I didn't know what trop rock was. I barely knew who Jimmy Buffett was, to be honest. The whole reason I joined was because of the charity events. I wanted to be involved in a social club that did good things. And that's what we were doing a lot of different walks, and we still do some stuff with the Humane Society, some stuff. I mean, we collect every time we have a meeting. We're collecting stuff for the Humane Society. We're doing an event called Summer in Paradise. I'm not playing at this one, but Tropical Soul will be there. Be Tropical, John Frenzy and Mark James. John Frenzy for sure. But there's a whole group of people that are going to be there, and we're putting on this event to raise money for the Easter Seals. That's coming up July 27th. That's a Friday night at Naylor Winery in Shrewsbury, Pennsylvania. That's going to be a blast.
Which winery again? Which one was that? The winery you mentioned?
Naylor, N-A-Y-L-O-R. Naylor Winery.
Okay.
It's in Shrewsbury, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Good winery. Good wine. So there'll be all kinds of wine specials, and we're going to have giveaway. We're going to have raffles and all the fun stuff that the Parrotheads do and raise money for the Easter Seals. So you know, we do all these things, and we're always doing good as Parrotheads, and you know, and having a good time at the same time. But after a while, I got to know who Howard Livingston was. I found out who all these different musicians were, and then about maybe 3 years ago, my husband started working second shift, and I found myself with free time in the evening, and a friend of mine asked me if I wanted to start playing open mic nights. So I started going out and playing open mic nights and learning how to sing and play guitar simultaneously, because it wasn't easy at first. It took a while. After some time, I was getting a little more proficient at it. I wrote my first song, which was Tropical Man. And I wrote it because I was listening to Beachfront Radio, and I was struck by how many men were singing about riding off to the Keys or moving to an island or something. And the other thing I was struck by was there were no women singing, or, you know, hardly any. There weren't that many women voices. There were some. But it seemed like the majority of the songs were by guys, and they were singing about, you know, escapism, which is what tropical rock is quite a bit about. And so I was wondering what a woman would think about that, and that's how Tropical Man came about. And then not long after that, I was invited to play at Spring Fling in Wildwood, New Jersey, Spring Fling 3. And I went there and played, and people started asking me if I had a CD. Long story short, I decided to start working on it in July. I went to Orca Sound Studios in Abingdon, Maryland, and spoke to Kevin Johnston about it. And lo and behold, quite a few months later, and I have an amazing item, an amazing CD that I can share. And I'm very thrilled with how it turned out. I mean, he's an amazing producer. So that's how it all started, and that's, you know, just to kind of keep it.
I can vouch for the CD. The CD is very good. Like, and your live performances are very good too. I saw you the first time at Spring Fling 3, but I was never introduced to you. John never introduced us. I'd seen you.
Oh yeah.
And I didn't know you. I'm thinking, wow. Who's, in fact, me and my wife both said at the same time, wow, the one who's that playing with
that
John?
That's the first time I met John.
Oh really?
Yeah, he was there, and he was playing up by the pool, and I had played a couple of songs, and I just walked over and I said, hey, do you mind if I sing some backup with you? And he said, yeah, sure. So I got up there and I sang for a bit, and he said, that was fun, let's do it again. I found out he was singing, he had 2 hours the next day at 4 o'clock, so I I said, hey, you have these 2 hours. Can I join you on stage? He said, yeah, that'd be great. So we had a good time. It was cool. And now every time we get a chance to get together and play, we perform together at the Rum Barrel at Meeting of the Minds last year. And the Rum Daddy was there. And I mean, it was a great time. It was so much fun. And we were at Smoke and Tuna together this year, or, you know, just last week. So.
You know what I was thinking? We should play some more music. Ken, why don't you do the honors? And there were a few songs that you wanted to share with everyone. And, Ken, what are you going to play? And then, Danny, you set it up for us.
Okay,
we'll go with Drunk on Mallory Square.
I want to hear about this one.
Oh, yeah.
Is this a real-life experience, or is this all made up?
Well, yeah, of all of them. Oddly enough, this is the one song that is real. It's a true story. So 2 years ago, my first Meeting of the Mind, of course, you know, well, you tend to overdo things in Key West. So I was at the Hog's Breath listening to Tropical Soul, and I'd had a couple beers and then switched to whiskey and Diet Coke. And, you know, that's all bad, because apparently diet sodas accelerate the effects of alcohol. And then I grabbed up a rum punch and started walking toward Mallory Square, where my friends had all gotten seats, you know, to hang out and wait for the sunset celebration. So I got there, and I was just blown away by all the stuff I saw. I was just, you know, the Catman and the jugglers and the guy on the high wire, and then the sun went down, and I was just blown away by the whole experience. And so it's kind of a, not only was I drunk on Mallory Square, but I was drunk on Mallory Square. So it was kind of like a double
mm-hmm.
meeting to it, that it was so amazing that I had to go back and do it again, sort of thing. So I have not been back there since then. I haven't actually gone back to the pier, so maybe I'll have to do that this year for a commemorative. But I actually have some photographic evidence of the experience. I have a little video of me following some chickens, because I said the Key West chickens led the way, and they did. And then there's some pictures of Mallory Square and the Catman and some people there. And then afterwards, what happened was I met up with some of the Hanover Parrot Heads and some of my other friends that were in the Hanover Parrot Heads and the Amish Parrot Heads, and we went to the Conquer Public, and I got some salad and I got some water. Promptly spilled my water, and the waitress brought me a cup with a straw and a lid. And I felt fine the next day. I felt pretty good, actually, so I recovered nicely.
All righty, then.
Your next CD,
so
can have recovered on Mallory Square.
And recovered, yes.
Yeah.
So that was a parrot head rehab. That's someone else's song.
Okay, so we're going to play a little Drunk on Mallory Square by Danny Hoy. We'll be right back on Ship to Shore Radio.
Who did he wear to howl at the moon? Found myself at the Hog's Breath Saloon, listening to great band they had there. Three beers, whiskey, and a rum punch then. Headed down Front Street to find my friends. They'd all gone down to Mallory Square. Key West chickens led the way, escorted me to the end of my day. Felt as if I was in a dream. Breezes.
Okay. All righty then. It seems like we're all back. We're back on the air with Ship to Shore Radio. This is Captain Frank and Dread with Trustee First Mate Ken and Danny Hoy, which is short for something that we won't mention because if you guys are just coming in late, you can always catch the replay of the broadcast by going to Ship to Shore Radio on Facebook. And you'd like for you to like us, and also Flockers Gone Wild on Facebook, which is a sponsor of this program. But Danny, it's really been a lot of fun so far. And I wish we had 3 hours to do it.
I know. It would be nice to have at least another half hour, maybe. More time.
We're going to bring you over to the sports show, which starts at 11 o'clock. Talk
okay.
about this team that you love we won't mention yet. If people want to know what team that you root for, then they'll have to hang past 11 for Dreaded Sports Talk. But right now, it's all about Annie Hoyer, this wonderful CD that she has out that everyone should make sure they get an opportunity to check out. And you can at DannyHoyMusic.com. That's DannyHoy Music.com. All right.
That's right.
So where are you next? At the beginning of the program, you were talking about it, but I want to make sure that people know if they heard the interview and wanted to know the next place to catch you, like, where would that be and when?
Well, the next big thing is Cook String Music in New Orleans, August 9th through the 12th. So I'll be there for that. I'm playing Friday afternoon, I think at Tropical Isle. I have to find the paper. The schedule's tentative, but they're firming it up. But it looks like I'm playing on Friday afternoon. And then I think Tom Shepard plays after me, or maybe before. He might be before. I think it's Tom Shepard, then me. And then I think John Frinke, if I remember correctly. But don't hold me to that. But I'll be there for the whole weekend, and we're doing a bunch of different things there. And but that's coming up, and I'm really excited about that. Really excited. That's going to be a tremendous experience for me.
It's a big lineup of trop rock artists. I mean, you had their Frenzies, the Jim Morrises.
Yeah.
It was a lot of big name people.
Oh, absolutely.
John Friday will be there.
Still a rookie.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a rookie. The new kid on the block.
But you'll be in New Orleans, though, so I can tell you. That's
it's
one better place.
It's going to be hot.
Yes, it will. Oh, my gosh,
fan.
Yes.
Yeah. I know we'll be inside for the most part, but apparently that doesn't help.
While you're there, make sure you get over, just ask for the Foot Locker location, because you'll be able to hear some New Orleans music with a set of youngsters on horns and a snare drum and bass drum. They play every night out in front of the Foot Locker. So,
okay.
Just ask where that is and make sure you ride on a streetcar.
Yeah, I haven't been there since 95, and I had such a great time there when I did visit, so looking forward to going back.
All righty then. Since 95... Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's been a long time.
You get some good food, though, while you're there. That's for certain.
Oh, absolutely. That's some great food. I got to get me a beignet.
Yeah, that should be your first thing on. That should be the absolute first thing on your list.
Uh-huh. Beignet, a little cafe au lait.
Absolutely. So, if you wanted to talk to, wanted to say anything to anyone out there who's aspiring, even people who play every night in their bedrooms or their living rooms and wanted to start out playing and no longer just playing a living room or bedroom or garage, what would you tell them that could potentially make them decide to just go do it?
I'm sorry, what was that?
If you had any...
There's an airplane passing over me right now.
Oh, my God. Must be flying low.
We're actually in a path to Newark Airport, only about 15 minutes from Newark Airport. I just ducked in the garage. So.
Well, you know,
that's live radio, see?
You know, you have to have some belief in yourself, for one thing, and what you're doing. You have to have a little. It's hard. Confidence comes in time. And you just have to keep working at it. If it means enough to you, you'll find a way. You know, if you have any kind of desire or talent, just keep working at it. It takes a lot of work, a lot of effort. But if you really want something, you have to work hard at it. You can't. Natural talent only gets you so far. You really need to learn all you can, and make mistakes, and just live with them. Just keep going. You know, don't give up. Never surrender.
That's sage advice for certain, and I'm certainly glad that you decided at age 12 to pick up that guitar and went to those coffee houses, because that led you to Mallory Square, and next thing you know, you'll be down in Key West 8 times a year.
I'm really looking forward to how things are going to pan out and keep moving for me, because I've been amazed at how things have changed in the last year, just amazed, and very thankful. Very thankful and very grateful. So I'm looking
forward
to more.
Have you started any songwriting, any ideas for the second CD?
Yeah.
Just enjoying the first one for now.
Well, I am enjoying that. I have 10 things in the pot, 10 songs in the pot at the moment that are kind of simmering some ideas. I have one new song called Summer Song that I'm fleshing out. I think it's pretty good, but I'm going to have to run it past the producer and see what he thinks. And then I have several other songs that are fun. I'm trying to work on some different ideas. You know, you never want to kind of rerun your same game. You want to try and try something new. So I'm trying to look at things that will expand my sound and you know, it's always good to be as an artist to experiment and try new things. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Alrighty then, and it is. I'm hoping that during perhaps even the next season of Ship to Shore Radio that you will be back, and we certainly will enjoy your company. So, and by the end, you know, we want to make sure that we push your CD all the way on the Facebook page, and most of all, I'm looking forward to seeing you out there in the battle, as all we musicians know what that's all about.
Yes, indeed.
So many tropical artists too. It's amazing. I mean, I actually took a look at all my Facebook friends, and there are turned out to be 700 tropical musicians.
No kidding.
Yeah,
wow.
It took me a few weeks to count, but 700.
I guess. Wow. That's amazing. it's a growing genre, I think, absolutely.
Now, I mentioned this for one major reason. It's because the fact that your music is getting around in such a fast fashion. Think about all the persons vying for the very things that you're enjoying right now, and realize that means that you're headed towards perhaps the upper echelon of those performers.
Well, I don't know.
Well, the fact that you got invited to Six String is an invitational, and that's a lot of big name people. That's a huge step. That's a huge step, towards the upper echelon.
You got to look at it this way, too. Think about Sly Stone when he was touring America, and he had this little-known guy named Bob Marley from Jamaica who was opening, and he was blown off stage the first three shows and told him, you know, you've got to lose those guys. They're blowing me off the stage. So you never know. You get up there and sing with everything, and your great songs and everything. Before you know it, you just keep going further and further up. So I'm looking forward to bigger and brighter things, still just the same out of you. And you're welcome to Ship Ashore at any time.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm looking absolutely. I hope to come back very soon. And I really enjoyed this time that we've had together. So.
Be listening for you on Beachfront as well.
All right. Yeah, I'm one there, and quite a few other. I'm actually on quite a few stations, so including Beachfront, the Shore. I've been on Island Time.
By the way, no need to worry. We're not in competition here because our boat is very fast. So when people try to catch us, we're not worried about it. And we have other
sister
ships.
Black sails. They're made of sturdy stuff.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. It's about that time for us to switch programming, in which I am understanding you're going to hang with us for Dreaded Sports Talk for a few moments. Is that true?
Yeah, why not?
Do we have time to play one more song while we switch over?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We haven't heard the title song of the CD. I was holding back Tropigal for the end, and we're actually over our time now. Do you want me to go into that song, and then we'll go into Dreaded Sports?
You know what? The thing is, people need to realize that we are on Island Standard Time. We get there when we get there. So let's hear Tropigal, and then you'll hear that theme from Dreaded Sports Talk, and we'll go right on to the other side.
Okay, this is the title cut from the CD, the one that started everything up. It's called Tropigal.
Second job on weekends to save a little money for a getaway. She wants to go on a Caribbean cruise to hide away from her city blues. There's a woman on her iPhone listening to her phone scream. He keeps on talking, but her thoughts keep her walking along a beach on Cedar Key.
Ship the Shore Radio. Radio. It's time for
Dreaded Sports Talk. treated.
Sports Talk.
Yeah, I'm on. Welcome, everyone, to Dreaded Sports Talk. This is Captain Frankendread, along with trusty first mate Kim, and we've got for a little while Danny Hoy, Tropigal, who just happens to be a Baltimore Oriole and Ravens fan. I got that right, didn't I, Danny?
That's correct. I'm a Baltimore girl. I like the home team. I know I live in York, Pennsylvania, but, you know, Baltimore's not that far from me, and Philadelphia's 2 hours east. Pittsburgh the other way, like about 4 hours. So, you know, Baltimore's the closest town for me. And since I'm from there, I just feel like I like sticking with my teams.
Surprise,
it's a family tradition.
Oh, really? So, you know, were they at one time Baltimore Colts fans? So.
Yeah, once upon a time. I still have that vision burned into my head of those trucks leaving town. So I don't hold anything against Indianapolis. I mean, it's like a whole other, you know, team. So, I mean, it's not like, you know, they're the same people or anything. It's just, that would be impossible. But, you know, at the time, it was pretty devastating to our town, and my parents were enraged. I mean, that's all they talked about. It was awful. So, but
yeah,
we finally stole a team from another city. And we stole some Cleveland Browns, and now we have the, well, they're not, there's no Browns, the original Browns anywhere on the Ravens anywhere, and so the Ravens are like a whole package. But at least we've had the Orioles for a very long time. And I,
well, you know,
I'm going to sorry.
You know, I was just thinking right now, I can just feel the heat coming from Cleveland. I can hear Daryl Russell and Amo Bennett and probably even Dennis King right now thinking, oh, no, she didn't talk about what
I know there's, I was talking to a guy from south of Cleveland just the other night, and yeah, he was not too happy about that either. But we were watching Kent State play Florida in their World Series. College World Series of baseball on one of the televisions there in the restaurant where I was eating, and Kent State won 5-1 or something like that. I forget what the exact score was, but I mean they did really well. So that was cool for him.
You mentioned sticking with your teams. I'm about ready to stick a fork in mine because we lost again tonight.
I know. So did my team.
Yeah, the Mets won 5-0 again. I don't know what happened to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
they're still in
second
place.
Let me
see.
Your Cubs won, Captain, 2-1. Beat the White Sox.
Yes, anytime we beat them yesterday also. So I saw one time, yes. I don't want to say any further. I want to jinx tomorrow. We'd love to sweep those guys, you know? I would love to see that happen, but the Orioles are really showing themselves to be rather respectable this year. So if you ever have an opportunity to go to a game or something sometime this season, make sure you go and cheer them on, because obviously they're not going to win the division, but they're doing rather well right now.
Now here's the cool thing. On June 30th, DK the DJ and I and our respective spouses are going to go catch an Orioles and Tribe game on June 30th. We're going to see each of our teams battle each other and see what comes out of it. So it's going to be a fun time. He's going to 2 games. He's coming down here to visit and like go to the Big Al Tiki Bar on the Eastern Shore and that sort of thing. And but we're going to catch 1 game together and. That'll be on June 30th. That's a Saturday. So that's going to be great. The Camden Yards is a great stadium. I love the place. It's amazing.
I was hoping to make a trip down. I wanted to do a weekend trip when the Twins were down there, but they played opening weekend.
Yeah, they did.
It was cold. I'm glad I didn't go because you guys beat us 3 times. So.
Oh, yeah.
I did see the Orioles in spring training, and come to think of it, you guys won that game too. I forgot the exact score, but it was you scored double digits. It was like 10-2 or something. In fact, I was there with John Friday, and he was happy because he's also an Oriole fan.
Yeah, that's true. John is. So we have something in common there.
Nothing rather emotional about that whole region when the teams aren't doing so well, and he can tell you exactly why. So I was just thinking that one of these days I have to have both you and John on at the same time. That would be lovely.
That would be cool. That would be a fun time.
I think so. I definitely think so. Anything you want to say about the Ravens?
Well, I was disappointed in how things turned out for them in the past season. I'm hoping they'll do pretty well. I know they've had a lot of changes. Suggs had the ankle, the tendon injury. I'm trying to remember which one had the tendon injury. I haven't kept up lately.
Yeah, that was him, Terrell Suggs. Yeah,
he was playing basketball or something.
Yeah,
you know, and that's when crazy things happen, is in the off season, I think. So,
he's going to be back for part of the season, but the doctors are saying that's kind of remote. For the injury he has, most people it's a minimum of a year in recovery time. But yeah, it's a serious. Yeah, when you.
So
when that Achilles tendon goes, it's tough.
Well, all I can say is good luck to them, because they always snuck in and appear to at least be good, but this year is going to be kind of tough, I think. But to the Ravens, my hat's off to them, because, yes, they did start a franchise that came from a story one, and then they lost the story franchise, but they're doing very well. So, I mean, actually, though, the Cleveland Ravens is how I like to look at them.
I know. But, you know, it's not even really, like I said, it's not even the same players, technically, so.
Which is good. You don't want too many Cleveland players.
No, that's just kind of, you know, that just causes more upset, so.
Yeah. The Ravens are always good, though. The Ravens are never down. They seem to always be either in the playoffs or in contention until the end. They never have a really poor season. Like, some teams go in cycles. You lose players with free agency, and you have that year where it just doesn't work out. It seems like the Ravens never have that year. You can always count on them to be over 500.
They always at least make wild card, you know, or get close to the wild. They always make like a wild card team, and so I love that about them. They're tough, sturdy, and they don't give up.
Yes, I'll give that to them. They're a blue-collar team, almost, you could say. Because of their defense, I think. But this football season is going to be rather fun. But right now, enjoy the Orioles, as they represent your hometown very well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm happy to see them doing better. You know, they're not doing, I'd say, phenomenal, but they're definitely doing way better this year. That's always
not anymore. They're not being laughed at as much, for certain.
And my dad has a saying. It's of course I won't be able to remember it, but you know, it's like they start off really well, it seems, and then they just kind of lose it at some point. So, but they're doing better this year, so I'm happy.
As of now, they're 39-29, and they're 2.5 games behind the Yankees. They lost, but the Yankees lost tonight as well, so no harm done.
Oh, okay, alrighty.
As pitiful as the Twins are doing, they're still only 8 games out of first place, believe it or not.
Wow.
I'd rather see them just lose and be eliminated than keep me hanging on and waiting for this winning streak. Because even I have to admit, I don't think it's going to come.
That's so frustrating.
If they can hang on to like the end of July, because then I can be realistic and say, you know what, this is over. But the Giants start training camps, and then football starts.
Uh-huh.
I just can't have baseball season over in May and June. It's just too early.
It is too early.
Not if you're a Loyal fan, because I can already tell you that my team, the Chicago Bears, are going to do very well.
Okay.
I just wanted to throw that out there, but yeah. If you think that we're partial on this program, well, you're right.
I think everybody has their own you know, they really want to believe in their team, and you know, I know so many people are just absolutely crazy about Pittsburgh. So anything Pittsburgh, and anything Pittsburgh. I mean, every, you know, Penguins, Steelers, the whole Pirates, all of them. So
yeah, that's
you
just beat my Twins. The Pirates just beat us tonight, 7-2.
Oh my.
At least the Yankees lost. I can always find a little bit of happiness when my team loses on the same night the Yankees lose. So that's good. So I'm sorry, Mark DeVoe, if you're listening.
Sorry, Mark.
Mark's a big Yankee guy.
He is, for certain.
Oh, everybody likes a winner.
Before we start into our regular program, I want to say thank you for going into overtime with us on Dreaded Sports Talk after having your Ship to Shore Radio. And before we let you go to whatever it is you'd like to do this evening, maybe perhaps have a spot of rum yourself, maybe pick up the guitar or get a rest, or I'd like to make sure we play another song. And Ken, if you will cue something up, then I'd like to... You're welcome on this show anytime also, Danny, and thank you so much for dropping by.
Thank you, and it was great. It was great being here and great talking to you, and I'm looking forward to talking to you again and maybe seeing you at Meeting of the Minds.
Oh, I'll be there this year. You guys hear that? It's already
See you at the Living Like a Pirate.
Make sure you come by the Living Like a Pirate area, okay? And
I will.
Just listen for the reggae and the steel pans, and I'll be right there.
Okay. I will be
there. I'd like for everyone to make sure you take a visit to DannyHoyMusic.com. That's DannyHoy. MUSIC. No, that didn't quite work out. It was Mickey Mouse, but no. DannyHoyMusic.com. Thank you so much for dropping by, Danny. And Ken, what are you going to play?
We're going to play, once we didn't play this song yet tonight. It's called Paradise.
Right. My baby. Paradise It Is by Danny Hoy. Thank you very much, Danny, and have a nice evening.
Good night.
thanks for listening to Dreaded Sports Talk on the Dreaded Sports Talk Network.
Today, I'm going to the beach. It's a sunny day and I'm on my way and I love to feel the heat. See palm trees and coconuts, get the sand in my feet.
All right, we're not quite at the beach, but I will tell you this right now. Chris Ring sure made us believe that we need to be there. So, Ken, that was great having Danny on for a while, that Baltimore fan, you know. Who's having more success than the Orioles are having much more success than the Cubs and the Twins at this point.
Yeah, way more. It's been a very disappointing, frustrating year. It's been, I still watch. I had my game on here as we were, doing the ship to shore. I keep it on. And just, I probably shouldn't keep it on. I just get more depressed when I watch it.
Yeah, I can't deal with it. I really can't right now, except we did beat the White Sox, and so hence my season has been saved. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what's really on my mind right now, though. You couldn't have made or driven home a better point some months ago when we were talking, when Evil Rob was on, three of us were talking about various sports, and the sport of boxing came to mind about, you were mentioning there, it just had become so corrupt and such BS, that's why that you didn't really pay attention to boxing as much anymore. And lo and behold, Ken, just a couple of weeks ago, we had one of the most outrageous things to ever happen. And I said ever in boxing, and that was Manny Pacquiao being robbed of his belt in a boxing match that I had the pleasure of watching right with Larry Holmes right just feet from me. And, you know, it's pathetic. And even he said so, because boxing, in any sport where you have one guy who's in charge of the whole sport and it's not regulated as such, and the promoters promoting both fighters, and you have a questionable thing, and there's already a rematch, and the guy who won already has a giant poster of the rematch. Something smells, okay? It really does. These promoters, they're like the scum of the earth as far as I'm concerned. You only need to look. Let's just look right now, for instance. You look at Mike Tyson. $300 million he had, but it's gone, and mostly it's Don King's fault. I mean, I know $300 million buys a bunch of crazy finger-in-the-light-socket-looking haircuts that Don sports, but, I mean, that's the bad side of it. But then you look, okay, Floyd Mayweather. Did you notice that he was the highest-paid athlete? He made $85 million in two fights.
Wow. The problem is most of these guys don't know how to keep it. You know, they just, it seems like to me, the percentage of boxers compared to any other athlete make this type of money, but they just go through it, and they end up fighting until they're, like, in their 50s, because they're, Roberto Duran was another guy. How many championship fights and big fights did he have? And the last I heard, he was broke. He fought until the very end because he needed the money, not because they love the sport so much.
Absolutely. And here's the thing, and even someone like Mayweather, he may have saved, he's a savvy businessman, and he was linked up with Mark Cuban on some business ventures, and he's kept his money, but he hasn't kept his freedom. Right now, he's in prison. So, I mean, what's the difference? You saved your money, but you never had any common sense, so what's the difference? But boxing, to me, is a sport that I'm just, quite frankly, I'm pissed off about, because it's just so corrupt, and no wonder people are watching the MMA, because you get two guys honestly fighting to beat the hell out of each other, and it's whoever actually comes out and boxes with the most best tactics, and that's what boxing was supposed to be about. And then it might as well, to me, I'd rather watch the WWE. Why? Because unlike boxing, where the bouts that people really want to see don't occur, at least in the WWE, you just yell enough and they'll put the right people together. Although it's staged, so is boxing. That's my point. What's on your mind, my friend?
Well, as far as the boxing, I was just, I shouldn't say I was shocked because I kind of almost expected, but that rematch stuff just was like the way, I mean, like I said, there were posters made. That was, if that was in the setup, then nothing was, you know. I used to really love boxing. And then just recently, I mean, more than recently, for a while now, it's just been just so crazy. You can almost predict who's going to win because you just have to look into the future and say, well, who's going to bring the biggest rematch? Who's going to bring the most money into the pay-per-view? And it's just, I don't know. With so many legitimate sports out there, it's just hard to grasp onto it and want to follow it and, you know. I don't know. It used to be so good when Ali and Frazier and, you know, you had the Foremans and the Holmes. Now it's just been damaged, you know, so much. It's just hard to get into it.
No doubt. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I want to tell you, except that I'm going to start watching the WWE. It may be fake, but at least we know it is.
Yeah. If you know it's scripted, you can't be surprised. You know, it's is Hulk Hogan still wrestling?
Oh yeah, that guy. I mean, he has the most outrageous wig on in the world. I mean, really. But I tell you what's not fake right now is some of the stuff going on in baseball. I'm going to jump right in there. Can you believe Roger Clemens got off?
Yeah, I mean the prosecutors in this case just. I mean, I don't think there's anybody in America that thinks he's innocent. It's just that they've just mishandled his case twice. And you know what the problem was? The McNamee was such a... His credibility was just so bad. It was just hard for anybody to believe this guy. I mean, Clemens can say what he wants. He's going to be tarnished. And I, as far as the Hall of Fame, I think when it comes to the voters, they're going to look at it the same way most of America is. You're not innocent. You just... weren't proven guilty yet, you know. I don't know. Nobody gets bigger and stronger as you get older. And they say a trait of steroid use is your head actually gets bigger. And if you look at his head and Barry Bonds' head, they look like two pumpkins.
No joke, both of them. I mean, that tells you something right there. I mean, even look at Sylvester Stallone. His head got big as well.
I've got a baseball card, an old baseball card. It was from Barry Bonds when he was his second year with the Pirates. And it looked like, he looks like a stick figure, like some grammar school kid was drawing stick figures. And then you see him now, you know, incredible difference. More than just somebody who's hitting the gym hard and working out. This was like an incredible size difference. You know, it wasn't a natural, you know, size difference. And I just think these guys would better serve themselves if they had... Well, I guess Clemens couldn't because, you know, he lied in Congress, but if they just told the truth up front, you know, maybe someday they'd have a chance of getting in the Hall of Fame. People will say, okay, you know, it wasn't illegal at the time. Yes, they did have an advantage by doing it, but it's the ones that just keep saying, no, we didn't, we didn't, we didn't, and you know they did. It's just... those are the people who will never get in the Hall of Fame. And some of these guys have numbers that are incredible. And they were, you know, good players, but because of what they did, you don't know how much the steroids help. I mean, you still have to be a good player with the hand-eye coordination to be able to hit a ball. But it just taints too many records, you know. I think it even taints some teams' championships. Now, everybody knows I hate the Yankees, but if you look at some of the Yankee teams from the late 90s, three-quarters of the team from, like, 1998 to, like, 2000 were all on that Mitchell report. I mean, it was more than half the team was on the Mitchell report. And you know, the people that weren't were just outright criminals. It was a thing in an article that between the Mitchell people and the people that were getting arrested and the strawberries and whatnot, half the team was, you know, shouldn't even been playing. But, hey, you know, that's what it wasn't illegal then, so I guess you can't say anything about it. But I just hope they don't find another way to, you know, beat the testing and we have to just end it, you know, get rid of the steroids. You haven't heard a whole lot about it recently, although I didn't check into the story, but I did see something come across before. That guy Galvis from the Phillies, he's a rookie. He just got a 50-game suspension. I'll have to look that up and see what he did, but I'm sure it's performance-enhancing related.
Well, you know what, Ken? Well, you've mentioned that you don't know how they're getting away from it. Well, getting away from it, I don't really care about steroids anymore because anyone who's still taking them is an idiot. When everyone knows if you take HGH, you're okay. Because here's the thing. HGH, they only test once a year at one certain time where everybody knows about it, okay? I don't know if you knew that. But the Major League Baseball, because here's the thing. I'm looking at a survey of the Major League. This is a secret survey. They asked, has baseball's effort to get rid of performance-enhancing drugs worked? 58% of players said yes. 22% said no. And then 7% said, I want to believe it's working, but I'm not sure. And then yes on steroids, but it's too early to tell on HGH. And then 3% just didn't care. They're obviously 3% is on it. But there is a guy, get this, home run numbers are down, and there was an active pitcher right now who absolutely said that he's doing them right now. He's taking HGH, and he said, and he's not an older guy because he tipped his, he said, guys, young guys who want to get back in there fast or guys at the end of their careers are taking HGH because you have to in order to keep up with things, all right? I believe that. So now we know there's one pitcher out there who had the gonads to actually admit that he's taking HGH now. But I guarantee you there are a crap load of players taking the stuff, but they're testing as usual. Sure, they're doing blood tests for HGH, but anyone could slip by and not get caught the way they do things. But right now, I'd like to ship some HGH or the steroids to the Cubs, and when they're done with their shipment, I'll send it on over to Minnesota because we both need it.
This guy, he's 22. It was performance-enhancing drugs. It seems like it's they said a trace amount of banned substance, 80 parts in a trillion. It was detected in his urine sample. You would think if he was really hitting the performance enhancing, that seems like a, you know, I don't know how you could accidentally, if there's anything else that he could have done that would make that show up in his blood, but unless it was in his blood and his urine and it started to fade out and he'd happen to catch it, I don't know. I don't know how that works, but this guy's only 22. He was filling in for Michael Utley. I'm thinking of Buffett, Chase Utley. he's playing the keyboards for the Phillies.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, you know what? Just looking at the survey also, get this. Which team, this is what the major leaguers said, which team other than your own would you most like to play for? Who do you think is the number one team that Major League Baseball players would most love to play for?
You would think it would be the Yankees.
Not too loud. Someone in your house may hear.
Yeah.
That's absolutely correct. Guess what the second, this might surprise you or shock you, not as much as the third team, but who do you think number two would be?
Number two. Boston.
Guess what? It's the L.A. Dodgers.
Really? Yeah, I guess, yeah.
And now for the biggest shock of all, what team would you deem to be the third team that people, Major League Baseball players would most likely prefer to play for?
The Cardinals.
The San Diego Padres.
Really?
Yeah. And that's astonishing. And then here's, which team would you least like to play for? Who do you think is number one?
Least, I would say maybe Seattle.
Seattle's not even in the top three.
Huh.
Not even in the top three, I ask you this, though. You're probably thinking of a team that I'm thinking of. Well, anybody playing for Oz again is frowned upon these days, but no. the first team that they would least like to play for is the Oakland Athletics.
Yeah, I can see that.
Then you have the Toronto Blue Jays. Everybody knows about that whole situation, plus the taxation situation coming out of Canada. And number three is the Kansas City Royals. And the reasonings for Oakland was, a former ace says there's no will to win there. And another guy said, it's like playing in a football stadium with only 6,000 fans. That's why they don't want to play. Now, which city has the most obnoxious fans? I'm sure you're going to get this one.
Philadelphia.
Yes. Now, who's number two, you think? It might shock you.
Number two, New York. Yeah, the Yankees.
San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, well, I guess, yeah, that could be.
Amazing. And now, which city has the best groupies?
I would say the Yankees or the Red Sox.
Believe it or not, Chicago. That's very true. That's very true. And now, who is the most hated player in all of the major leagues?
Playing now?
Yes.
I would have said Jose Canseco, but he's not playing now. Alex Rodriguez.
A-Rod is number two, actually, followed by Nick Switcher at three, but number one, are you ready for this? A.J. Pierzynski.
Yeah, I guess he was a twin for a while, too, and they hated him when he was a twin. They still boo him when the White Sox come back to Target Field. Metrodome, they've booed him since he's been gone.
Well, San Francisco, do you remember the story, which turns out to be real, when he took a ball to the groin and the trainer comes out and says, AJ, how do you feel? And he immediately kicked the trainer in the nuts and said, how does that feel? No, and he said, kind of like that. Wow. But, all right, you ready for this? Here's another one for you. Who is the biggest trash talker in the major leagues? And he won by a wide margin.
I'm thinking of two guys. I'm going to say two guys I'm thinking of are Rollins and Reyes.
Neither one. Even rank. Orlando Hudson at number one, Nigel Morgan at number two, and Chris Carpenter is number three.
I didn't know about Carpenter. Yeah, Morgan, he has a big mouth. Now, Orlando Hudson, I didn't think he was a trash talker. When he was with the Twins, I mean, they showed him in the dugout. His mouth never stopped. They made him more like he was just a talker. I never heard of him being a trash talker, but his mouth never stopped going. he would talk to his own teammates in the dugout. They showed him. He just went on and on and on. Every time he reached base, he would just... Nigel Morgan is kind of like a Valverde from the Tigers. You know, he does something well. He's got the big performance on the mound, and... And that's not going over too well this year since he stinks. That was a one-year thing, and I thought it was – I had a feeling. I said to somebody I work with, is actually a Tiger fan. He's from there. And he even said, he goes, this was a complete shock. He goes, if he does it again next year, it'll be a miracle. And, look, he's – I'm not sure what his record is now, but I know he's nowhere near what he was last year. That's – part of the reason why the Tigers are with that huge payroll still below 500.
Isn't that amazing? But
that's
got to
be a big disappointment. That's a lot of money tied up in between Prince Fielder and Cabrera and Verlander, the three of them guys. I think they're in third place now. They're below 500. Although that division isn't that good. You know, you put a quick winning streak together and you could be they're not that far ahead of the Twins, actually. I think they're like four and a half, maybe five games ahead of the Twins.
Yeah,
and the
Twins
are 26 and 40.
Oh yeah, that's near Cubs territory.
The sad part is one of those teams will have to make the playoffs. Somebody's got to win the division. But I guess you never know. Look at hockey. Who thought the Kings would win the Stanley Cup? Who thought the Kings would make the playoffs? Never mind win the Cup.
That's true. But sometimes the manager has a lot to do with what happens, too. And here's the thing. You were to choose the smartest manager in Major League Baseball, who would you say is the smartest?
I mean, a lot of people will probably say Girardi, but he's got the team. I'd say Madden from Tampa.
Ding, ding, ding.
Even my guy. Or Gardenhire. I mean, and they're not playing well this year, but over the years, over longevity, he's just gotten the most out of what he's had to work with because of the payroll situation. They can't afford to keep a lot of the big names, and he just always manages to come up with people to fill in and then usually have a competitive season. But same thing can be said with Madden from Tampa. They have a small payroll. They don't have a lot of income, and he continues to put, you know, players on the field. They're always competitive. In fact, I think they're tied or they're half a game behind the Orioles. They're in third, but they're just, you know, that whole division's close, too.
Yeah, that's going to be both Eastern divisions of the American League and the National League are highly competitive this year. That's for sure. That is for sure. On the smartest manager list, give me two persons that you think are most likely to fall behind Joe Maddon. I want you to choose just one of them. Who do you think would be in the top three of smartest managers behind Joe Maddon?
I mean, Jim Leland is usually pretty successful. I'd eliminate Ozzie Guillen. That's one down. I mean, maybe Jim Leland.
Yes, you're right. And also Mike Socia. That's
complete
that list. And here's the thing. I have a couple more for you. Overwhelmingly, who would you say is the most overrated player in Major League Baseball? This may surprise you or it may not.
I got to think for a second. Overrated. I mean, based on this year or over a career?
It just doesn't say. It's just who is this year. Or it doesn't really say, but it just says who is the most overrated players. And I'll tell you, he's a Yankee. Does that help at all?
I'd say either Teixeira or A-Rod.
It's Jabba Chamblin.
Oh, okay, yeah, he's not even around. He had, Tommy John? He had Tommy John. I don't think he's coming back this year. But he is, yeah. He's one of these guys they babied. This is the ironic thing. They babied him, pitch count, the job account, all that stuff. But all you hear about it. And look, they tried to protect him, and he got Tommy John anyway. It's just a matter of how you're made up. If your elbow's got so many pitches in it. I felt bad for Kyle Drabek. You know, the Blue Jays gave up a lot to get him from the Phillies, and he just got hurt yesterday. He's got to have his second Tommy John surgery.
Yes, that's incredible. Two of them. And I wish
one is
hard
enough. Two is pretty much, if he comes back from two. I mean, people have come back from one with medical advances and things like that. Now, you can do it, but two. And it all depends on the person. Some people come back in a year. I mean, it took Francisco Liriano almost 2.5 years before he got his velocity back and got anywhere near he was, you know, when he was a rookie. He was 18-4 as a rookie when he hurt the elbow. I mean, he's never been close to those numbers again, but he's got his velocity back. He's thrown back in the 95-96 range.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, let's finish out this list, too, because we could debate a lot of the overrated players and things forever because there's a lot of them. But something I'm curious to hear what you have to say, and that is this. Who is in the worst physical shape in Major League Baseball? Who would that guy be, in your estimation?
Let me think.
Tick-tock, tick-tock.
I mean, based on... just the way he looks, but not his performance. One of the most overweight guys, to me, it looks to be CC Sabathia, but he gets the job done, you know. Let me think, who else?
Think West. And time, yes, indeed, and time is quickly getting passed on you. And he's a pitcher. Does that help at all?
Bartolo Colon?
Oh, no, that's, yeah. The thing about him is he's up and down. Just keep the pizza boxes and beer, and it's okay. It's Todd Coffey for the Dodgers.
Oh, I wouldn't have got him.
And it's funny. It's like, have you seen it? One of his division rivals said, have you seen him running in from the bullpen? He's got bigger boobs than half the girls I've dated. As a teammate, I think Coffey needs to get on a treadmill, but to be honest, he doesn't really care what any of us think. Todd Coffey. And this was a pretty cool survey that we've decided to share with everyone this evening, and I think you know the answer to this one. I think it goes without saying, but who is the least respected manager? It's top three. Give me two of them.
Ozzie Guillen. Least respected. I'm having a mind blank. The Phillies. Terry Emanuel. People are always putting him down, although he's had success. A lot of people don't seem to be on his side, but I mean, you can't argue with success, though. He's just a little unconventional. But actually, Ozzie Guillen's got to be number one.
He is number one. Bobby Valentine is number two, and Manny Acta is number three.
I forgot about Bobby Valentine, yeah.
You're not going to believe, I want to go back to the most hated player. You're not going to believe what they said about Nick Swisher. And they're saying it's no surprise to see legendary me first or A-Rod on the list, but perennial fan favorite Nick Swisher, hear this about it, Ken. You're not going to believe this. An American League vet said, everything about him is annoying. This is Nick Swisher. From his mannerism to his always wanting to bro it down, says one American League vet. Being around him is just exhausting. An opposing reliever adds, no one wants Swisher to get on base. Entire bullpens talk shit to each other if he gets a hit off a guy.
he's annoying. He's got that. You'll see him in the dugout. In fact, they were playing somebody recently, and he was in the dugout running up and down like he's like a kid. But I tell my wife he's retarded. She likes him. I say he's an idiot. I don't like him at all. But he's just too overzealous. You know, you can be excited, but you don't want to show up other people. He's just, I don't know. Some people say he's okay, he's playful, he's harmless, but he just rubs me the wrong way. And I could see being a player, and he does something against you, and he's running around with his arm. Like, he reminds me of Santonio Holmes when he does that Jets thing when he scores a touchdown. I've seen him do that in the dugout. He runs around, he's just smiling, laughing. He doesn't shut up. I remember Mike Francesa trying to do an interview with him when the Yankees first got him, when he was a free agent from Oakland. And Francesa couldn't get like two words in because the guy just would not shut up. He just kept going on and on and on. And he's, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, he's a decent player, but he's just got he's very, very hyper.
Well, he managed to do something that most can't. In fact, I don't know anyone who has, even A.J. Pierzynski. He actually made Ozzie Guillen look like a saint when he was at the White Sox. And the Coffey was in the same town. I was really happy when they booted his behind right on out of there. Well, here's the thing, man. We've talked baseball for some period of time. I want to ask you about Ocho Cinco. What do you believe will be his chances of having a great year with the Miami Dolphins, and why?
Slim to none. I think his best days are behind him. He's too caught up. He's just into the attention. He can get the attention by playing football. He's more into the Twitter and the touchdown routines and all that. And the Dolphins don't have a quarterback who's going to get him the ball. If he couldn't get the numbers and get the production with Brady and that Patriot offense, Matt Moore's not going to do it. Tannehill's not going to do it. and Garrard. It's an unsettled quarterback situation there. Garrard's hurt. He's come back from serious back surgery. Matt Moore's okay. He would be like, if you needed to pick a backup, he would be the perfect guy to have on your bench to come off if your starter got hurt. And the other guy, Tannehill's a rookie. You don't know what you're going to get from him. They're going to run Reggie Bush. Thomas. I think his name is Thomas. See, it's not football season, and my head's not into the. They're going to run the ball most of the time. That's what the way they're built. They have decent running backs, but they have no other receiver to kind of back him up now that Brandon Marshall's gone. So if you're going to double team somebody and he's your best guy, you know, he's going to be covered. I really don't know why the Dolphins signed him. I'm sure he's not cheap either. Unless they're just trying to catch lightning in a bottle, hope, you know, maybe now he's the main guy again. Because he was kind of buried down in with the Patriots with Gronkowski and Hernandez and Welker and even Branch. You know, here he'll be the feature guy probably, and I don't know if that's good or not.
Yeah, me either, but I'll tell you one thing right now. One thing you may not be looking at is Tannehill knows the offense that they're running because his college coach is running the same offense in the pros, so he knows the offense they're running. Mike Sherman is the offense coordinator for the Dolphins, so I'm just thinking he will become the starter of the Dolphins before the 8th game. That's what I think.
Probably, because they invested the money. Let them, the sitting on the bench thing, you know, I guess it helps. If you're sitting behind Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, you're going to learn. You're not going to learn much from Matt Moore and Garrard. You know, let throw the guy in, let him play. That's what the Colts did with Peyton Manning. They didn't baby him. He went right in. He had some rough games that first year, but he learned, and look how it turned out.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, we're nearing the very end of Jetted Sports Talk this evening, and my parting shot is for those who didn't think that basketball would make a comeback, I must admit it is really the first time quite a fascinating venture this year because you have LeBron James going against perhaps the guy who would be the best player in the NBA, and that is young Kevin Durant. Although the decades have changed and times have changed, the NBA is a fascinating product again. And the thing is, everyone hates LeBron James so much that one could almost hope he gets his championship out of the way because people forget that he was just a kid when he first came in the league. And his team now has a 3-1 lead, and I'll be watching because this is titillating theatrics on the court. And I'm just saying, although I'm going to lose a case of beer on this whole thing, I'd like to see the Heat go ahead and close it out. And as we close out, Ken, what do you have for everyone this evening?
Hockey. I was just very, very shocked to see the LA Kings win the Stanley Cup. I was happy because I like to see different teams. I don't like to see the same team win all the time. It was nice in their first cup in 45 years. They swept through every team. I mean, for an eight seed to do what they did was pretty good. And I was a little bit worried when they closed out the conference championship because they had all those days to wait before the Devils finished up. I thought, you know what? They're going to lose the momentum. They're going to lose all the good stuff they had going forward. But they jumped out to that 3-0 lead. And let the Devils get to 2 games, but you know, once they got back home, I like seeing the different teams win. And here on the East Coast, we don't see the Kings often, and realize they, you know, pretty good team, pretty big, pretty fast. I was I don't like the Devils either, so that was kind of like a little extra added bonus for me seeing them lose. But I got to give my hats off to, you know, an 8th seed. That's what I like about the NHL. Basketball is so predictable, and to, you know, most points football is too. You kind of can almost predict most of the playoff teams before the season starts. Hockey has got so many surprises. Whoever gets hot at the end seems to have that momentum going forward in the playoffs. And it's very hard to predict who's going to win the Stanley Cup. And I just was, you know, very happy for the Kings that they finally got one. They couldn't get one when Gretzky was there, but they got it. They got it now.
Finally, and he's not, yeah, it was coming sooner or later. And unfortunately, our time has come, and it came sooner than later. And I want to wish everyone a great evening, and we'll catch you guys again next Tuesday. Thanks for listening to the Dreaded Sports Talk.
You want to finish up with a song here before we go?
Yeah, man, why not?
Since we had Danny on, we can we'll play Tropical Man, which she explained during Ship to Shore. So we'll play that, and we'll see everyone next week.
You're listening to Ship the Shore Radio.
Radio.